Chapter 14, Brown's Gas Protocols. In order to do the Brown's Gas Protocols, you need to have a generating machine that produces a constant flow of the substance to get the full benefits that are available. Although there are wonderful hydrogen bubbling pills that you can buy and make hydrogen water, these only give a part of the benefits that are possible until the pill is dissolved. Then the flow of gas is stopped. However, there are machines that can be purchased through various suppliers around the world that give a steady flow of the gas, and they last for years and possibly for life. It is even possible to build your own machine if you have the time and the capability. Now, before I go on, I do want to say that those pills are great. I have them also. But I'm adding on the extra electrically expanded water part, which only the generators create at a steady flow rate. Safety first with a Brown's gas machine. If you are looking to purchase one, I would suggest that you look for companies that make safety a high priority for their machines. There are various models that are sold from various countries that are effective but may not be very safe, especially for long-term use. Generators that are safe means having a minimum of the following: having a low PSI pressure in the generating chamber of the machine, typically keeping it well below 20 PSI, and even for some people that make the machines, even as low as 2 PSI or less. That's pounds per square inches. There are machines that produce this gas very well, but create pressure over 20 PSI, which is much less safe when handling a gas that has the potential for burning. Some people will convert a cheaper Brown's gas machine that was built as a blowtorch or a car fuel enhancer to become a medical gas generator. Although the output gas is the same or close to the same, the safety behind the engineering may not be at a medical level. Along with the low PSI systems, a general pressure shutoff switch is oftentimes installed with the system in case of excessively high pressure buildup on the machine. Oh yeah, that was the first thing, is the low PSI pressure. Now, here's the next one, number two. It is important that the machine produces the gas in a separate chamber with the electrodes from the bubbled water that you drink. This means that the Brown's gas is produced in one chamber and then travels as a gas to another chamber of liquid that can be consumed or used. The separation between chambers is typically made with a permanent bubble container. This makes sure that there is no residual dissolved material from the electrolysis that might mix into your drink or breathed gas. Some inexpensive hydrogen gas generators will bubble the water right in a container that you drink from. These machines generally produce only minute amounts of expanded water, but they do produce hydrogen and oxygen. They are convenient, but lack the safety and high amounts of EXW, the electrically expanded water, that I would recommend based off of the research. Again, I don't think they're terrible. I'm trying to promote the best of what's out there in terms of technology for Brown's gas use. Number three, the use of check valves to keep a buffer between generator gas and the bubbler water. This helps to separate any possible water being sucked back into the electrolysis chamber as the generator cools, because they do get a little warm when they run. Now, if you don't know what a check valve is, it's just a valve that only allows gas to flow one way in a tube or a pipe and not go back in reverse. Buying a Brown's gas generator. Because I do not receive compensation from any single supplier of these machines, I list a few websites that I feel might have these safety features so that you can get the idea of what to look for. These machines range in price between about $1,500 to $12,000 and are generally built to last several years or to last a lifetime. The table below shows some of these options, and this is on page 121. I list the brand name, the cost, and a picture of them. And I checked around a little bit to just get a feel for who was making what and who had these requirements that I listed earlier. The brand names are Eagle Research, Hydrogen for Health, the Hydrogenie, and the Epoch Machine. The Eagle Research Machine costs about $2,500. The Hydrogen for Health Machine is $1,600. Hydrogenie is $2,000. And the Epoch Machine, I'm guessing it's a lot higher, over $5,000, but I am not sure. I couldn't find that quickly for this book. With these more expensive Brown's gas generators, there is a minimum maintenance involved, a minimum amount of maintenance involved. They pump out Brown's gas through an output tube, which you can use to bubble your own drinking water, or you can use the gas with the protocols that are given later in this chapter. You refill the generators by adding more distilled water to them as you use them. It is surprising how much gas that it produces, even from a small amount of distilled water. It's a lot. I also want to emphasize that there are cheaper versions of these models, but I suggest that you make sure that they follow the basic safety designs that I mentioned above and any other requirements that you may consider on your own. High initial cost to start. After considering the pricing, it is clear that the cost to get started with these machines, or with, you know, Brown's gas therapy, is high. Paying a minimum of $1,000 for a strange piece of machinery may require quite a commitment of resources and funds for any average person. Even if you decide to build your own $400 ER50 model, which I did, it will require a good amount of mechanical experience and time to build. It took me about 3 weeks of work in the evenings to build one. However, when you consider the types of illnesses that these machines affect, which, you know, they cause spontaneous remission of them, this dollar amount is very small compared to what you would spend with pharmaceutical medicines, surgeries, visits with medical specialists. Or visits with medical specialists. Even if you have very excellent medical insurance, there are usually costs like co-payments for medication and doctor visits, travel time and costs, minimum payments for surgeries, and other expenses that you may not think of as a part of the cost for the current medical system. Although I don't recommend a particular machine over another, I personally would invest in the Eagle Research, their AC50 model, because the company seems to be extremely vested in their customer base, and they also understood more about the Brown's gas scientific updates than any other of the vendors when I did my research. All of the above are vested in the benefits of hydrogen and the quality of their products. However, the Eagle Research Group has been very good to me about addressing the safety factors and responding to questions about how electrically expanded water works. You can also keep in mind that most of the Brown's gas treatments are done in the home while you are doing other things like working on a computer, in the kitchen, reading a book, or even in my case, taking a nap on the couch. Napping is my favorite way to inhale Brown's gas. Additionally, once you have a generator, you now have a mobile treatment center that can be shared with others and probably lasts 5 years or up to a lifetime. I say 5 years just because I don't want to say it lasts forever, but it seems like they do last a long, long time. Brown's gas treatments. The four most common ways to use it. Number one, drink. Channel the gas into water and run it through a water airstone bubbler, like the ones used in fish tanks, to infuse the water with the Brown's gas molecules. The smaller the bubbles, the quicker it infuses into the water, because there is more surface area between the gas and the water when there are more bubbles. Colder water absorbs the gas faster, and hot water has a hard time absorbing the gas. It tends to release the gas, actually. After 3 to 10 minutes of bubbling this water, it is considered to be saturated with the gas material. Then it is drunk. And I'm speaking about a typical, 8 to 32 ounce container of water. When saturated, the water will always be giving off small amounts of the infused gas and will return back to normal water over a period of some days. You can, however, bubble some water and then store it in an airtight container in the refrigerator to have it last for a longer period of days. I'm sorry I don't actually know the exact amounts at this point in time, but it is also preferable to use an aluminum container because it maintains the hydrogen for a longer period of time. But that's for long-term storage. I personally would recommend that it's just made for on-demand use. That's just some of the things that I've studied about storing hydrogen. Number two, the second way that hydrogen or Brown's gas therapy can be done. Soaking with water. The same bubbled water can also be used to bubble a larger amount of water to soak parts of the body or to bathe in. Keep in mind that the larger the amount of water, the longer that it takes to saturate it with the airstone. This may require you to bubble the larger amount of water for several minutes or more before using it to soak in. Once you are soaking in the water, you would still run the bubblers continuously so that a maximum of gas is continuously saturating the water. This allows for a constant exposure to the skin to take place. On this picture on page 123, here's an example of an Asian company that sells special hydrogen-producing tablets that have soap and can be placed in the tub for bathing. The water becomes saturated and the thousands of bubbles can be placed on the face or other parts of the skin to help absorb the hydrogen as a part of the therapy. When you have your own generator, you can produce your own supply of bubbles for bathing and gas-infused soap bubble therapy. Just be mindful that you are working with a gas and keep all the flames away from the bath. This includes candles, smoking, and other flames. It is also possible to take this bubbled water and put it on a specific part of the body until it dries out. For instance, if you put it on a cotton ball that is held in place on a sore or an irritated area or a skin rash, this will allow for the infused material to be exposed to the area of contact. You regularly saturate the cotton ball so that it keeps the area of skin contact moist or wet. There is an account of a man who did this. He used cotton in a bottle cap fastened to his skin on a section of melanoma skin cancer. He kept saturating the water with newly hydrogen bubbled water. After a few weeks of wearing this and wetting the cotton, the melanoma spot fell off of his skin and was gone. Method number three for treating yourself with Brown's gas. Gas treatments on skin. The Brown's gas can be impressed into the skin by connecting the outflowing tube to a plastic bag or a plunger piece that is connected or enveloped over a limb or part of the body. The simplest way to do this would be to get a Ziploc bag or a plastic bread bag, and cover the area that you want to be saturated. At that point, you insert the Brown's gas tube, the incoming gas, into the bagged area and put a rubber band over the top of the bag so that the area inside the bag is enclosed and somewhat cut off from the outside. The rubber band seal should be snug but not tight enough to cut off blood circulation in the area. This covering allows for the gas to be pressed against the skin area that you are trying to treat. Here is a screenshot of a lady on page 124 who is using the bread bag method to treat her carpal tunnel syndrome issues. It took several visits or treatments on her arm, but she was able to avoid surgery and the pain and inflammation was reduced each time that she received a treatment. I will also say, I didn't talk about this much, but if you do get a just a brand new toilet plunger and remove the stick from it, drill a hole in it and run the tube through the hole, you can use the plunger as a press against your skin, an area that hurts, an area that is even under the skin, like lower back or, you know, a part of your body that's more flat. And you use that pressurized hydrogen gas, just a little bit of pressure on it, running through the tube on the body. And it will also treat that area. Method number 4 for using Brown's gas for treatments. Gas respirating. Connecting the outflowing gas to a nasal cannula that is worn and breathed for lengths of time ranging between 15 minutes a day all the way up to 6 or 7, 6 or even 8 hours a day. There are people who have had extreme mortal diseases who have used this method for most hours of the day to combat the deadly sicknesses. However, for a healthy person, only up to an hour per day would be considered as a, quote, maintenance, unquote, treatment. The higher amounts of time breathing the gas would be for chronic or life-threatening health issues that you would want to focus on. I personally do this with the gas respirator in the cannula. I try and get at least 3 times a day, at least 15 minutes each time, but more often, well, in total, I get at least an hour to 3 hours breathing just while I'm working around the house and doing things like that. Bubbled water versus inhaling pure gas. As you consider the different ways that you can use Brown's gas to promote health, it is useful to understand that when you bubble the gas in water, it is placed in the body through the gastrointestinal tract, which is your digestive parts, as compared to the lungs and bloodstream with gas. Both methods of taking it are good and helpful. As mentioned earlier, there is a lot of research and testimonial information that shows that bubbled hydrogen water has wonderful benefits against getting sick and gastrointestinal troubles. The liquid also has direct benefits in accelerated tissue recovery, among other things. If you were to take this water and put it directly on your face, arms, or other part of the body, the infused hydrogen in the EXW will also do its work on whatever surface that it comes in contact with. Although this rebuilding and recovering work is not instantaneous, it is beneficial to the areas of contact as long as the bubbled water content is still in the water. For more of the hefty and chronic diseases, it may take months for the spontaneous remission to fully occur. Some people will take a bath or soak a foot in this bubbled water, minimum 10 minutes for a treatment, while the AirStone bubbler is still running to ensure that the levels of the Brown's gas are fully maintained. The full use of Brown's gas, either inhaled or on the skin surface, with both the hydrogen and the electrically expanded water molecules, has several benefits that are proving to be far above and beyond the already amazing bubbled water. After a lot of study of the research behind bubbled water and water versions and the pure gas use of Brown's gas, I concluded that both the bubbled water and the straight Brown's gas inhalation have some similar and unique benefits that can be taken advantage of. Here is a video that helps to see some of the research comparing the two methods of taking Brown's gas. The video was made addressing only hydrogen, but the research that has been conducted was specifically using Brown's gas. H water versus H inhalation video. That's on page 125. Storing Brown's gas water. Although Brown's gas is generally considered an on-demand product, meaning that you generate it as needed and don't save any for future use, you can bubble water and store it for a period of days if it is kept cool in a cool temperature and hermetically sealed in an airtight metal container. Some researchers have suggested that aluminum hydride, specifically, or even stainless steel containers are effective for storing hydrogen. However, this has been debated, considering the fact that the electrolyte material can cause a slow deterioration of the aluminum material. In the end, I would suggest that there is not a known effective way to store bubbled water that is worth doing regularly in the home. The power of the pulse cycle. I have had a chance to follow several of the researches and some practitioners of Brown's gas-related treatments, and I have found that there is a lot of consensus on how long or how much should be taken. Prolonged use of these, like all day long, actually seems to have less noticeable effect compared to doing it for a short period once a day. This has led the users of this to recommend a type of interval or a cycle of treatments in the body. For instance, you want to expose the area or the whole body to the gas or the liquid, followed by a period where you are not exposed for a while. There is something about the downtime where the body can return or recover to its normal state without the Brown's gas that gives the best results. I refer to this as the pulse cycle of Brown's gas treatments, allowing for the Brown's gas to pulse through the body once or multiple times a day. Some researchers prefer for the users to find what schedule works for them, whereas others suggest 1 to 3 times a day, like morning, noon, and evening. Brown's gas regeneration of the body. In an earlier section on Brown's gas, I showed a table that demonstrates the levels or storages that hydrogen deficiency affects the body in order. This table is reversed as you begin to recover from this deficiency and your body returns to better health. In other words, as you start to use Brown's gas therapy, this table represents what things start to recover first and second and third. I call this little table the hydrogen sufficiency effects on the body. What recovers in order of recovery? First, organ functions, liver, kidneys, heart, etc. Second, the immune system, not getting sick all the time anymore. And third, the regeneration system, like scars, eyes, hair, and etc. And this table, the second table, is shown on page 126. My Brown's gas protocol so far. I personally am still new to Brown's gas, and I typically try to get 1 to 3 hours of gas inhalation, along with 2 different times of drinking it per day. Because Brown's gas and chlorine dioxide neutralize each other, when taken at the same time, I do my CLO2, at least currently when I was writing this, I do my CLO2 in the mornings and Brown's gas in the afternoons or in the evenings. Remember, you need 1 to 2 hours of time between taking either of these two if you are doing them on the same day. So I take protocol 1 of chlorine dioxide, and this is just a sample. I take protocol 1 of chlorine dioxide in the morning until about lunchtime. And see chapter 5 for the protocol 1 description. Then I start with breathing the gas through a nose cannula sometime after lunch for a good hour to an hour and a half. And then I do another hour to hour and a half session with the gas later that evening. I have a very long 25-foot breathing tube. And I got the smaller one from Walmart at the fish supply section. I got a larger, thicker one from a hardware store, which allows me to be in the living room, kitchen, and at my computer desk without even having to disconnect while I am breathing the gas. My favorite thing in the day is taking a nap while inhaling the gas with the cannula on. The hydrogen already relaxes the body when breathing, and taking a nap seems extra restful. With Brown's gas, bubbled water, I start drinking it in the early afternoon after lunch. I'm still not sure about what kind of pattern to use with drinking it versus gas inhalation. I generally get about 30 to 60 ounces, 800 to 1500 milliliters of it a day. As I understand it, the bubbled water from my machine is between 1 to 1.5 parts per million of hydrogen Brown's gas. That's how much it puts in the water. However, I've not purchased a measuring device to verify that. When I travel, I can bring the machine with me, but for short trips, I take just a bottle of the hydrogen-producing pills that you add water to, and you take one a day. I've been taking one a day when I travel. The pills are actually, they produce higher levels of parts per million in the water, up to 8 or 9, but the flow is not continuous like the generator machine. I do like the pills, though. With all of this wearing of a cannula tubes and drinking bubbled water, my family thinks that I am weird with this contraption. I really am weird looking as I mix the CLO2 or wear the cannula while talking with others and while sitting in the living room couch watching a movie or something. However, I rarely get sick. My sicknesses come and go quickly. I am not allergic to anything anymore. I think that it is a worthwhile trade-off. I also wanted to add a list of some of the things that I have personally experienced so far and compare them to the things that others have experienced. Now, as I turn the page on this, this is going to the last page, page 127. I do want to say over the past 2 years, almost 2 years, I've only gotten sick. I got COVID once, which lasted about a day and a half. I got a little cough over Christmas break. Which was a lot of drainage, sinus drainage, but never really got fevers or anything. And that was about it over the past 2 years. I remember once I got a stomach flu a little bit at the very beginning. I didn't know what I was supposed to take for chlorine dioxide. But I'm going on about 2 years with hardly even getting sick at all. And that's really nice. Page 127 has a list of diseases treated with Brown's gas, drinking and breathing. Now, first is my own column. It's the left side of the column. I'll give my list. And then the right side is the huge list, which really looks a lot like what's on a chlorine dioxide list for diseases treated. My experience. Okay, here we go. Inflammation reduction, especially in my lower back. Twisting ability much greater with the body. It relaxes my mind very much, calms me down, and reduces stress or anxiety. My muscles or my bruises or tendons recover faster, especially from workouts. It makes my nap times seem so much more restful when wearing the cannulas, sleeping on the couch. It relaxes my body very much. 1.5 hours inhaling feels like I just walked out of a chiropractor visit. The joints in my back and neck kind of crackle and pop like they are loosened up. It's a good feeling. It's not a bad, crackle and pop. My muscles feel a little lighter, like I worked them out without working them out. ED issues dramatically improved. I will leave that at that. Bowel movement seems to be perfect. I don't know how else to say it. Just great. No constipation rarely ever, if ever, and the diarrhea rarely, if ever. I sleep excellent. This is talking about sleeping at night. Even better than with the CLO2 improvements in sleep. And, like I said, I don't get sick. I might catch something a little bit, and then I can get it to go away really quick. Now, that's my own experience. With the testimonials of others, here's a very long list on this page. And I will just start by saying autoimmune diseases clear up after some months of treatments. Allergies, gastrointestinal problems. Then as you get into the more intensive uses, you've got cancers, tumors receding, scars on the body slowly disappearing, long-term issues such as heart murmurs, tinnitus, and other conditions slowly fade away. That's slowly over the months. Age-related ED, libido issues, male and female, muscles tighten up with strength, eyesight restored from glasses. Arthritis, psoriasis, neuropathy, warts disappear, energy increases, constipation gone, weight loss, some hair regeneration, and I gotta jump back before I move any farther. I'm almost never hungry when I'm on the hydrogen therapy, so I've started to do the intermittent fasting. Not so much for weight loss, although that would be nice. I'm doing it more for just not having so much, what's that called? Insulin-related problems from snacking all day. Okay, I'm going to jump back to the testimonials of others using Brown's gas therapy. Some hair regeneration, healing is a lot faster, up to 1/10 of the time. The one guy, George Weissman, 20 years, he says he doesn't get sick, or if he does, it goes away quickly. some signs of age reversals. They call it reverse aging. And there is a bigger list, addiction recovery, angina, balance returned when you get older, blood issues, chronic fatigue, colitis, congestion, cramps, dehydration, diabetes, edema, fatigue, fibromyalgia, gout, herpes, shingles, high blood cholesterol, high blood pressure, HIV, kidney problems, laryngitis, leg cramps, lumbago, lupus, Lyme, menstrual pains, MS, neuropathy, lupus, Lyme disease, muscle pain, Parkinson's, panic disorders, psoriasis, rhinitis, skin issues, sleep disorders, tinnitus, toothache, urination problems, and the list is growing. Again, refer to the 600 plus articles that are linked in from the chapter that I have earlier on hydrogen Brown's gas therapy. In summary, I want to list some of the general conclusions with Brown's gas that I have found and how difficult it will be to stop the good news that comes with the progress. With these chapters, I sense that I'm only just opening the door and shedding some light on this wonderful set of molecules. More people need to know and understand that these simple and affordable methods will not only treat diseases individually, they could solve the problem of disease as we know it. Brown's gas, what it can't do. You cannot make big money from it because it is made from water. You cannot patent it because there are no patents for an atom or a water molecule. You cannot vilify it because it is food for the body. You cannot disprove it because the research of over 1,000 papers shows that it works. What you can do, you can solve the problem of autoimmune disease, most of it, if not all. You can solve the problem of pandemics at minimal costs. You can solve the problem of cancers. You can solve the problem of sickness. And I have here in a small writing a note. My apologies to the FDA, media outlets, and pharmaceutical and insurance companies. You are too late to stop this one, like you tried with chlorine dioxide. In the end, the truth about oxygen and hydrogen molecular therapy will come out faster than you can work to stop it. People will heal. People will share their experiences. And people will learn and believe the truth. Thank you, researchers, for sharing your work. I would like to give some of the names of the researchers that you can look up to find out more about recommended or researched regimens that would be found as beneficial. These names are listed below. Now, first of all, I'm going to take an effort at the last names of the Japanese,
Korean, and Chinese
researchers, just the last names. Aiketani, Sekimoto, Igarashi, Takahashi, Komatsu, Sakane, Takahashi, Kawaguchi, Kaneko, Osawa, Ono, Ota, Noda, Jianming, Li, Long, Liu, and now some of the, I want to say American, but also this one is a Bulgarian, Yul Brown, and then an American, William Rhodes, George Wiseman, and Tyler LeBaron. I'm sure that there are more contributors as well. Thank you, all of you unnamed people, as well as for your work in these modern times.